To have everybody here, if you'd like to get your Bibles opened up, we're going to be in Acts chapter number 1 this morning. Acts chapter number 1. And we will, I know that I'd mentioned last week, the plan was to the further into the gospel series in Sunday morning and Mark and Sunday school, but that Lord kind of led me to switch the two. And we're going to be looking at a Bible character from the gospel of Mark. So let's see here, announcements. There's some different things we want to make you aware of. Remember, our church does, I know as we get new people at the church, sometimes they don't always know everything that we do. And we have something called the prayer chain. And so what a prayer chain is when someone has a special request, they're looking for people to begin praying and praying with them for. And our prayer chain is something that you call one person, whether it be the prayer chain captain, you call myself or my wife, and then we'll contact the different captains, and that way multiple people can be praying in a very quick time period. And so the reason why we're announcing is that some people say, well, I don't remember ever hearing that request, or no one ever told me. If you're not on the prayer chain, then you're going to wait till you hear this announcement on a Sunday or a Wednesday. If it's a regular church member that passes away, then sometimes we go through the majority of the people that are faithful at church, and then that we let them know about that. But if you'd like to be part of the prayer chain, which means through calling or texting, mostly through texting, that you receive a prayer request, normally it is something that is welcome for anyone to use that's part of our church family, is associated with our church family. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, please let me or my wife know. We'll assign you to a captain, and the captain will, whether text or call you with the request. So please let us know. This is probably once every couple of years we put that out there. And we know recently a few people have asked to be added to it. So I thought it would be worthwhile to mention that again. Business meeting tonight after at the end of the evening service. Girls and ladies tea this coming Sunday from 11 to 1. Please sign up by today if you plan on coming. Outreach Saturday is May 11th. That's at 10 a.m. Men's retreat, May 16th through the 18th. Pastor Dave Barnhouse will be our keynote speaker at the retreat. We're going to be in his neck of the woods, and we need you to sign up by today. Next Sunday, we'll have a meeting with the men that signed up to go and go over the details that go along with that. If you have any questions, please see me. There is handouts on the Welcome Center for both the men and the men's retreat and the ladies and girls tea. Let's see here. Church picnic, May 26th. After, we're going to have regular service, Sunday school, Sunday morning, and then have hamburgers and hot dogs. Following that, we're asking everybody to bring in side dishes or desserts and can and bottle drinks for that. And then we'll have an afternoon service. A couple of times a year, we have a Sinkspiration, so we'll have a Sinkspiration that day. And the difference between a Sinkspiration and a regular service is there's more singing than preaching. You know, every other service is more preaching than singing, but it's just a way that we get to sit around and enjoy being ministered through good, godly Christian music. Plus, we will have a message that day, just won't be as long as most of the other messages. And then you have junior camp and teen camp there. If you'd like to help with the cost of teen camp for the young people and those that are going, please just mark it on the outside of your envelope. It's expensive. Last year, people responded and they gave. There's no pressure for that, but sometimes the Lord leads and speaks to people's hearts. It's probably about $240, $250 per person that goes, not counting the meals while traveling or spending money and things like that. So if we can knock some of that $240 or $250 off is all we're trying to do, try to help the families, especially if they have more than one teenager. It's just going to be going to teenagers who are faithfully attending our church. And so they're the group that you see around here. And in junior camp, we do here at the church, and that's June 24th through the 26th. And we are looking forward to a good time with that. And we need help with that. And this is, we do it here. If you'd like to come help some, we don't need a ton of help, but there are different things we need help with. Sometimes we assign somebody to help us with the craft or someone that helps us with the meals. There's six different meals that are taken care of during that week and things like that. So we're looking forward to that. We're going to give information out within the next week or two to the parents for the children that is applicable that can come. And it's only for children that are part of our church or maybe associated with our church. For instance, if there's a grandchild that maybe doesn't come that much, but you like to get them more involved, you know, we encourage encouraged him to come be a part of that. Some stay overnight, depending on the age and your faithfulness. Some just come during the daytime, but it's a lot of fun. Missionary David Barrett and his family is still in the States. They're waiting on Mrs. Barrett's Alini, right? I always mispronounce Alini. They're going to come help us with junior camp if they're not back in Brazil. They're hoping to be back in Brazil, but they're going to come, and he's going to come help us do some of the preaching and things like that. So it's going to be a great week with that. So you'd be praying for those things. We don't just go for entertainment, whether it's the men's retreat or whether it's junior camp, teen camp. We're looking for spiritual, making spiritual differences in people's lives. Yes, there is a oneness. There's a unity we're trying to build. There's a time of rest when it comes to the men's retreat. When it comes to camps, there's no rest at all. They keep them busy. They keep them busy all day on purpose because of the fact that they want to make sure young people are tired tonight at nighttime so they can sleep. So we have a missionary that is here with us today. He's a friend of Brother Gary Ola. Try not to hold that against him, but I'm joking. Is it Naphtali? Did I say that right? Okay, so Naphtali is here. He is a missionary to the Philippines. He is so I want you to get to know him today. Talk to him a little bit. He's visiting with us today. Grab one of his prayer cards. He's got a beautiful family there. And I don't know much about him per se, but I do know something about the mission board he's part of and know some of the different people that are part of his mission board, some of the pastors. So it's an independent Baptist mission for Asia, for Asians, and it's up in Ohio. So if you get a chance to talk to him and get to know him a little bit, and grab one of those prayer cards if he has them available. So, okay. So as I mentioned, last Sunday we began series, and the series has to do with the furtherance of the gospel, or theme for the year. So I wonder, when we talk about the furtherance of the gospel, sometimes we come up with these ideas. What's my idea? But this is a God thing. God is the one that's called us in the Great Commission. God is the one that has a plan for us. And so today I'd like to look at some foundational truths that's found here in Acts chapter number 1 and Acts chapter number 2, verse number 1. Just with this thought, some foundational truths. Because what this series is going to be, we've gone through the books of Acts verse by verse before, but what the series is going to be is looking at different times and different places and what caused the gospel to spread. Last week we looked at Theopolis, and we talked about Luke, and we talked about reaching one and how we should share what we have with others and the importance that he wrote two complete books to try to reach this man. And we looked at all that last week. This week, I'd like to kind of lay some foundational truths that might be, you say, oh, that makes sense or that's normal. But at the same time, what it's doing is it teaches us what might be missing and why we're not furthering the gospel like we should as a church. And so that's our desire, right, is to get the word out. And it should not be about me. It should not be about you. It should be about, this is God's commission to us to get his work done. So you take a step back from it. You consider it, because, I mean, there is lots of times people that are trying to do this and trying to do that and trying to do this and trying to do that. But you take the step back, you know, it's God who sent his son to die on the cross to die for us. God who's given us a great commission. God who is the one that saves people. God's the one, the Holy Spirit, that draws people. All those different things. What is it that God wants us to do? And how is it that God wants us to do it? And what is God's formula for that? And so when you consider all those things, consider it more of a narrative than just what is happening here. You have here in Acts chapter number 1, let's look in verses 6 to 8. And if you're taking notes, the title of the message is Foundational Truths for Furthering of the Gospel. Or you could put it this way, it must be done God's way. Jesus is having a conversation here. And as he's having a conversation with his disciples, he is teaching them. They're on the brink of the ascension. They're on the brink of the Holy Spirit coming. And then there's a 10-day period where they're waiting. In Acts chapter number 2, they're there and the Holy Spirit of God comes and fills the place. And well, let's jump in here. Acts chapter number 1, we'll start off in verse number 3. And this is to whom? Also, he showed himself, talking about Jesus alive after his passion, after he had died on the cross and he rose again by many infallible proofs. There's no denying. no denying the fact that he was there and that he had done this and he showed this. Being seen in them 40 days. So for 40 days, what's he doing? And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, he's teaching them. He's training them. He's getting ready to send this group of people out to the ends of the world. He wants them, they're going to turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ. And here they got this. And so they're having a conversation. Jesus is teaching them what they need to do. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. He says, look, this is what I want you to do. They're having a conversation. But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore, in verses 6, 7, and 8, if I had to find a theme verses or a foundational verses, it'd be these verses. When they were therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. So we see here that God gives us a formula. It's got to be done God's way. God has a time, God has a place, and we have God's power. So when we're considering the gospel, he's saying, hey, look, there is a time that I have for you. And if you look here, you consider this conversation, God's time looks different than our time. And we see here in the passage of scripture, they're coming in verse number 6, and what are they saying? Are you going to give us the kingdom now? This is what they're looking for. This is what they're desiring. This is what they want. But remember, God's timing is different than ours. It's sometimes almost comical when we turn around and we think, well, I'm going to get God's work done my way. It doesn't happen that way. It's done in God's time. It's done with God's place. And it's done under God's power. If we're truly going to further the gospel, if Faith Baptist Church really wants to initiate the thought of, I want to reach more people of Jesus Christ, it's going to have to be done in God's time. It's got to be done where God wants it done. And it's got to be done under God's power. God's time clock is different than ours. But remember what he says in Isaiah. It says, for his ways are higher than our ways, and my thoughts are higher than thy thoughts. If we go back to Haggai, remember in Haggai, the people had come and said, in Haggai chapter 1, verse number 2, he says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. And they came and said, oh, no, it's not the right time to build the house of God. And what was the famous phrase that's found in Haggai? Consider thy ways. When you get to the point to say, well, I don't think it's God's time that I do this, we must learn to consider our ways, because it is God's timing for us. And that's what they're there and they say, hey, we want to build the kingdom. And that's what the people in Haggai, they were building their own houses and forgot about the work of the Lord. And they were building their own lives and they forgot the work of the Lord. And they're saying, hey, God, Jesus, when is it you're going to have your kingdom restored unto you? And he says to them, look, that's not for you. And he says, that's not for your, and he even says there, I think it's kind of interesting when he uses this phrase, he says, to know the times or the seasons. I don't want you to worry about the times and the seasons. He says, I want you to worry about what my time for what you to do is. And that is to serve the Lord. Not only is it that you see God's time, you see God's place. You see in verse number 8, you see God, literally you see God's plan and God's purpose. And what gets me excited about the gospel is God's got a plan and a purpose. If we will just be involved, if we will just attach ourselves, if we will just say, okay, God, what part do you want me to have in? That's what this is happening here in the book of Acts. This is the foundational truth. This group of people are being trained by the Lord. And what happens in it? It involves praying. It involves waiting. It involves God's power. You see here, for 10 days, they're there. And for 10 days, they're waiting and they're praying and they're seeking the Lord. What is God doing? God is molding them and making them to be ready for the day of Pentecost, to be able to see them be sent out, to see thousands saved. And so once again, this is God's place. What did he say? What did he tell them to go do? In verse number 4, and being assembled together, which them commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. It's like, this is where I want you to be at. And the first thing we see here is God's way involves prayer. And what is it that they're doing? He says, but wait. God's way involves waiting until God's plan and God's leadership for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. So for 10 days, they're in this upper room. Why are they there for those 10 days? What is the purpose? I mean, yes, they're waiting, but what is the purpose of their doing? Don't you think that they should be out there having a gospel crusade? Don't you think they should be out there doing this or doing that? God is working in their lives and preparing them and making them ready to be able to be to do use the way that God wants to see them used. We're going to see here in just a little while, it doesn't only involve them waiting. It doesn't only involve in prayer God's way, but there's a unity that needs to be involved. And that's what they're happening. God is unifying this group together. And they're not being unified for their own purposes and for their own reasons. It's a beautiful thing that the Bible says in verse number 14, they continue with one accord. Chapter 2, verse number 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. He was taking this group of 120, making it in one accord to be able to go out into the whole world. But it's got to be done God's way. You see God's time, you see God's place. Look what it says in his place, where his place is. And halfway through verse 8, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the othermost part of the earth. Literally, you see what God wants. It's a rippling effect. It starts where they were at, and then it continues on. It is wherever we are. That's where he wants us to further the gospel. Wherever he's planted us, there's never a bad place to share your testimony. There's never a bad place to share the gospel. And if there is, wherever God has you, he wants you to do a work there. More importantly, he wants to do a work there. He's looking for people he can bless. And it's God's time. God had different plans, and we know better than God. No, we don't. God knows better than us. And God's place is, I don't think this is the right spot. I don't think we need to witness over here. I don't think we need what. And God does send us a certain location. God sends us, as we've seen in Acts, you know, Paul wanted to go to Bithynia, or Paul wanted to go here and go there. The Holy Spirit wouldn't let him. That's why we got to do it God's way. And that's why there is a time of prayer and there is a time of waiting. And he wants to further the gospel where you are. So if we really truly want to further the gospel, a foundational truth is we cannot try to manipulate into doing things our own way. We must learn what God's plan is and how God tells us to do it, and God's timing, God's place, and then last but not least, God's power. If we're going to do things God's way, it's got to be God's power. And look what it says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, in verse number 8. You see, there's a difference between God's power and the power we receive. Verse number 7, it says, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father have put in his own power. So you have over here, you have God's power. What's God's power? Everything. He knows everything. But he's telling us, obviously, do the disciples know everything? No, they're asking, is it the time for the kingdom? This is God's power versus the power that we receive. It's knowing God, knowing all things, and what God wants us to know. There's a difference. And that's why we can't say, this has got to be done my way. This has got to be done the way I think is best. This makes sense to me. No, it's got to be done in God's time and in God's place, and also with God's power, because we can't do it on our own. The power you cannot have is God's knowledge. But the power you cannot miss, if you want to further the gospel, is the Holy Spirit of God. So in our lives, we must understand that if we truly want to further the gospel, it can't be on our own time. It can't be in our own, this is the only place I'm going to do it. And it cannot be in our own power. It's got to be God in God's way. And we wonder why sometimes there seems like there's a disconnect, why we don't see more furtherance of the gospel. And if you were, like I said, if it must be done God's way, and if we're going to go through the whole entire, and we don't have time to go through everything, because I want to get to the last point. So I want you to put, it's God's way involves waiting. In verse number 4, he tells them to go to Jerusalem. God's way involves praying. You see that in verses 12 through 14, verses 14 through 26. What is this? This is a prayer meeting. That's everything it is. They have come together to pray. And they didn't come together for any type of agenda. They came together because God told them to, and God has them sitting there, and he has them sitting there for 10 days. Why does he have them sitting there for 10 days? They got questions. They had questions in Acts chapter 1, verse number 6. At the end of time, we're sitting on the brink of Jesus Christ coming back. It could come back at any moment. Do we have questions today? We have a ton of them, don't we? I mean, we do. They had questions back then. We have questions today. And what are we doing? We're learning. But we know the truths that we are supposed to have. And one of the things it involves waiting. It involves praying. But the thing I want you to look at today, and we're going to focus mostly on, God's way involves unity. God's way involves unity. As we mentioned in verse 14, chapter 1, these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication. Chapter 2, verse number 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. If you go over to verse number 46 in chapter number 2, and they continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they'd eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. It was, they were all together lined up with one thing. They had one purpose. They had a singleness of the heart. They wanted to do things God's way. They wanted to further the gospel. Have you ever been to a church like that? I haven't. And we hate to say that, but I mean, we have lots of different agendas, lots of different things. People want this, one people want that. And it's just, it falls into traps sometimes. We build church and we believe church has certain aspects and certain things. But to have a heart that's mindset is focused and single-minded together. Now, there is no such thing as a perfect church. Like the old preacher used to say, you find a perfect church, you better not join it because it's not going to be perfect anymore. But it should be our desire. And we know that he wants us to work together in unity. You say, why were the 10 days there? I truly believe the 10 days were there is to learn how to grow together. You go sit in the upper room with somebody for 10 days and pray with them. Either you're going to leave or God's going to work in your heart and change something. Hey, imagine, what is it? You go back just a few pages. What are disciples doing? They're arguing, right? They're fighting. They're saying, who's going to be the greatest among us? Who's going to sit in the right hand? Who's going to sit in the left hand? Peter, you go back just a few pages, maybe a page in your Bible, and it says, he asks, well, what about John? Because Jesus just told him he was going to die for the cause of Christ. What about that guy? And he says, no, you serve me. And when we come to the point of being unified, I think these 10 days were a time where they come together and they have questions and they're wondering what's happening. They've just seen Jesus die. They've just seen him raised from the dead. They've just had the 40 days together. And now they're there and Jesus said, come, sit up here in this upper room and pray. And for 10, and they didn't know how long, I don't believe. And the Holy Spirit of God is going to fall upon you. He's going to be baptized with the Spirit. In verse number 5, it says, baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So they bring him up there, and what he's doing is he is trying to unify this group. He is trying to take this group that just 40-some days earlier were scattered when Jesus was arrested, and he wants to bring this group together. And as he brings this group together, he wants to send them out to change the world. That was the desire of the furtherance of the gospel. If we're truly going to further the gospel, we must be unified. If we're really going to have a church, it's going to make an impact on furthering the gospel the way that God wants us to. Once again, it can't be, well, Pastor, we do this. And I think it's wonderful what we do. I think it's great. But remember, it's got to be God's way. It's got to be his timing. It's got to be his place. It's got to be his power. Where can you go? And you find a group of people with different backgrounds, different educational levels, different abilities, different talents, all those things, whatever you want to bring up, and they act together as one. The only place that's going to happen is found in a church. One that says, Christ is supreme. I only care about him. I want to serve him. And I want to serve him with my heart and my life because they have Christ in common. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, before we talk about the power that was displayed, look who the power was placed upon. There's a principle that we should not miss and cannot miss if we truly want to further the gospel. They were one, they were in one accord. Now, how many of us know we can be in one place but not be in one accord? That's not hard to find. You go to the Senate, everybody's in the same spot, right? But believe me, there's not people in the same accord. You go to a basketball game, you got half the fans for one side, half the fans for the other side. They're at the same spot, but they're not in the same accord. And the difference about this first century church, the difference about this 120 people is saying that they were in one accord. He's not talking about their circumstances. He's not talking about where they were located at. He's talking about the oneness that was among them. And this is significant because this group, just a few pages ago, was bickering and they were fighting. And now we see that they have oneness. They watched Jesus die. They listened to Jesus teach for 40 days. And if you truly want a difference in your life and have a desire to want to have oneness, spend 40 days with the Lord. Spend 40 days seeking after the Lord. And I truly believe it will change. They did all these things. And Jesus had been teaching him in verse number 3 of chapter number 1. In verse number 11, the angels tell him, you know, and it says in verse number 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go to heaven. So he's saying in verse 3, he taught him for 40 days. Now he's ascending up to heaven. And the angel said, look, he's coming back. So because he's coming back, he comes to this thing. We got to get this done. We got to do what God wants us to do. We got to work together on this. It was no longer about these disciples. It was no longer the brothers asking, can I sit on the right or the left? It wasn't about them anymore. It was about Jesus. And if churches want to further the gospel, it's got to become about Jesus. It can't be about us. It can't be about personalities. It can't be about our own selves. There's a oneness in the church. It's all because of who Christ was. Christ was. If the gospel is going to get further, it's all about who Christ is, not about us. They'll say, Pastor, how can we get people to agree? You're not going to get people to agree. People are going to think differently. People are going to not always agree with me. I'm not going to always agree with you, but we can agree on one thing. We must agree with him because it's about him and it's his church. It was not about their glory anymore. It was about his glory. It was not about what others are doing. It's about what Christ was doing, but more importantly, what Christ wanted to do with us. If we want to further the gospel, it's got to be not about what's so-and-so doing. I've had people say this. Well, I'll go to do this if somebody else does it. What does God want you to do? Forget about the rest. If we're going to truly look at this and we're truly going to make a difference in this world and further the gospel, it cannot be about what so-and-so do and play some type of game. It must be, what does God want me to do with my heart and my life so I can further the gospel? Suddenly, you have a group of men who are one in Christ. They're ready to do whatever God's asking them to do. Well, where do you see that? They're going to get up in front of thousands of people and preach the gospel. Many of these people don't even know how to the certain language. And we see the gift of tongues as they spoke. It was the gift of hearing. They did whatever God wanted. They went and they got beat. What did they do? They went back because God told them, go back to the same spot where you got beat before. They come to a moment in time and they are one in this idea. I want what God wants me to do. You don't get the power from the Holy Spirit in a church without oneness. I'm convinced that there are so many different unnecessary divisions amongst God's people today that one of the greatest hindrances to revival is a lack of unity. One of the greatest hindrances of things that are the true blessing and the power of God in our life is because of people not wanting to be unified. What we need to do is get out of the way. We need to stop arguing over petty things. We need to stop fussing over personalities. We need to stop guarding certain things that is our territory and allow Christ to be all and let Jesus Christ promote unity amongst us. We will be in one accord. The Holy Spirit of God will be seen. We will see the evidence of him working if we will learn to say, I want whatever God wants, whatever that looks like. D.L. Moody said this. I thought it was kind of, and this might not be an exact quote. Sometimes you hear quotes from different people and some people say one way or another, but I've heard this a few times. D.L. Moody, in reference to a church being united, happens two different ways. Either the way a church is united is either it is frozen together or the other is by being melted together. Frozen together or melted together. What Christians need today is to be united in brotherly love. Then they can expect the power of God. Now, so what do you mean frozen together? I mean that somebody can be so hard-hearted and cold-hearted, the whole church can be that way. They're frozen together, you're unified. They're not furthering the gospel. or their heart can be melted and wanted a desire to just burn for Jesus Christ, and that they could melt together and they could work together with this common goal. What's going to get the gospel furthered? What's going to get this happen? I know that we have lives and we have other things, but what when it comes to our church and our church family, what's going to help get the gospel done? And it becomes consuming. You see them, they all had lives. They all had families. It becomes a consuming that we're melting our hearts together for a oneness. Now, it doesn't have to be a oneness in the fact that you particularly enjoy a person. What does that have to do with getting the gospel out? The fact that somebody might think differently than you or might like something differently than you. No, it's where we have a oneness. It's Jesus Christ, and this is his plan. We're part of his story. This is it's our lives, yes, but we've been placed inside the story to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for the sins of mankind. It should not be one of the bylines. It should be the main dominating character inside the whole story. It should be the main theme that this is what he wants me to do. This got them, I believe these 10 days got them in a place to just want to be one together. And that's when the Holy Spirit of God fell. Now, once again, I know we all have the Spirit of God inside of us. I know it's the beginning of the church age. I understand this. God was trying to get them to oneness with Christ. God was trying to get them to be oneness with each other. And if we're all one with Christ, we will be one with each other. The oneness is connected to God. God wants oneness among his people. But there's many churches fighting. There are people who feud. There's people who try to guard their turf. There's people who will do whatever they can except for say, what can I do to further the gospel of Jesus Christ? Think about it this way. If this is God's story, God's plan, and we're just a part of it, God looks down, he institutes the church, he desires that they be unified. He says it all throughout the word. He desires that it be unified. He looks down, and inside his own church, he sees people that are arguing and fighting. He sees people that can't get along. He sees people that have cared more about their own personalities than trying to reach people for Jesus Christ. You sit there and he looks down upon that. What would you think? I mean, how would you feel? I know it breaks my heart. I have two sons and I believe they would call each other best friends or close to each other and they enjoy being around one another. But it used to drive me crazy when they would argue because I loved them so much and I knew I wanted them to be. Can you imagine what it looks like when God sees his children? And he's like, they're missing the whole point. What the church is there for, to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I agree, it is a place that we're supposed to raise our families, supposed to protect our families. I get all that. And that's it's established, it's all found in there. I understand all that. But if we've missed the main purpose of why he's brought us together to further the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm not God, far from it. But I know I would just shake my head and said, they're missing it. They're missing it. Sometimes I look back on my life and I shake my head and think, I missed it. I missed it. Because I cared more about how I felt than getting what he wanted done, accomplished. So if we're going to really be interested in furthering the gospel of Jesus Christ this year, if that's going to really be something we want to do, there's some foundational principles. It's got to be done God's way. God's timing, God's place, God's power. That involves waiting, as I said in verse 4. That involves praying, as the whole chapter talks about. But it involves unity also. It's something where we learn to grow together when he becomes number one. It's not about me. It's about him. It's not accomplishing what I want. It's what he has done. I mean, this is what he's starting here. You don't see the programs. You don't see all these things. He is starting this church. And as he's continuing this church through, this church is recognized for what? Spreading the gospel and taking it through. What would be said about our church? What are we famous for? And I'm good with having wonderful with this program, wonderful having this program, and loving one another, being a kind church. I think those are all wonderful things, but it needs to be a place, if we truly want to further the gospel, if we want that, we must be unified. That's when God can work. If we're not unified, I don't think he's going to really truly bless like he could, more importantly, like he wants to. What is it that God wants you to do? Let's pray.